Good morning, I'm David Burden. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but I hated church when I was younger. Why would I want to listen to an older man talk about some guy named Jesus I didn't even know? I wanted to meet this guy. I had a lot of questions to ask him. For instance, why are you forcing me to worship you every Sunday when I should be playing sports? The sermons and the Sunday school activities week after week never really resonated with me. That is, until I arrived at confirmation in eighth grade. On the car ride there, I can still remember complaining to my mom, telling her I'd already realized that I'm a Buddhist, and I had no need for these shenanigans. I gave her the classic Buddhist meditation, but fortunately for me, she overruled me. I grudged out of the car, walked into what is now my second home, and saw a woman that I know I will look up to for the rest of my life. Week after week, as Laura led our confirmation group discussions, instead of telling me the answers, she left room for my little mind to grow and interpret on my own. One week, she told us all to join a youth group session on Sunday night from 7 to 8:30. Intimidating seniors judging me? No thank you, I thought. And that's it. I never attended a single youth group meeting that year. I mean, who can judge me? Seniors can be a little scary. Full-grown beards? Twice my height? Nope. However, the next year, my mom pushed me through the door to youth group. Unlike braver souls, though, I was still intimidated. My naivety led me to believe that youth group was a high school dynamic, a room full of judgment. So, unfortunately, I missed out on the glories of youth group most of my freshman year. I'm very sad about this and jealous of the confidence of kids like Channing that come and engage in conversation in ninth grade. My sophomore year, however, I decided to give youth group a second shot. The first week, I went to a meeting that was being held in Fellowship Hall. As soon as I walked in, my ears were filled with laughter and rambunctious chatter. I stepped over piles of shoes scattered across the floor. Why was everyone in their socks? Why was there a football in the middle of the room? This did not look like a church activity. And then Laura exclaimed, David, just in time, go with team one. I was quickly named number five, whatever that means, and took my place. Two, Laura belted, and suddenly two people stormed headfirst towards the ball. What on earth does this have to do with God or Jesus, I wondered. Ian picked up what I later found out to be called the bacon and barreled straight towards me. Unfortunately for him, Parker was in the touchdown zone. Parker lunged. Ian slid. I have no clue how the game ended, but that is how I was first introduced to youth group. It had nothing to do with anything religious, well, at least overtly, but it had everything to do with the fellowship being built. Laura knew the best way to build relationships was through fun. In fact, That night, I had so much fun that I completely forgot about my test the next morning. I saw through my initial naivety and started to see youth group for what it really is, a haven for high schoolers to experience what a loving community is like. From that point on, youth group became a place to escape my stressful days. At the weekly meetings, we did everything from playing games to recording children's books for kids who were lagging in their reading capabilities to helping Laura move furniture for rooms with a view. Even though every meeting was different, there was one constant. Every time we got together, I laughed and forgot about my troubles. But youth group didn't just introduce me to all of the kids. It integrated me into the entire church community. And without this church community, I wouldn't be the person I am today. This church is both my backbone when I need help picking myself up and my water and sunlight to help me grow into a more caring, generous person. All of you are there when I'm hurting, and I'm there for each of you when you are suffering. When Jake died, from the oldest members to the youngest, you all gave me the hugs, talks, and love I needed to withstand the hole that bored into my heart. That's what this community is to me. When someone has fallen, the rest of us are there to pick them up. I truly don't know if I would have made it through that time and sewed up the hole in my heart without what this church community gave to me. You are my backbone, and I know every time I walk into this sacred place, I am loved. Reflecting back, here's a couple of words of advice I can offer to the middle and high schoolers. Don't be afraid to put yourself into the church community. There is no finger pointing. This is possibly the one judgment-free haven. Each and every one of you are loved and accepted in this community. Also, don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. It opens new doors to be explored, and without walking through those new doors, you will never grow as a person. I'm so happy I finally walked through those doors. And now, come Sunday night, I choose youth group over my basketball practice. I guess I figured out on my own why I should be here on Sundays instead of playing sports. Thank you.
I'm Alex Chilliette. My favorite Christmas pageant is the one I hardly remember, as I was only six, but it's still the one that makes the best stories. I pieced together what happened with the snippets I do remember and the story my parents told me. I remember my parents laughing that my older brother got a two-line script while I got a page. I remember that I was too small for the crown and it didn't fit my head. I remember walking up to start my speech in front of a full congregation. I had every new reason to be nervous, especially considering I didn't have all my lines memorized, but I wasn't. I was just beginning to understand that there was no need to be nervous. Laura was waiting for me at her podium. I started giving my speech just as I had practiced. Quickly, though, I blanked. My line stopped, and I struggled to remember what came next. I took a peek to my right, and Laura gave me the line quietly. I continued on, stumbling once more, and getting help from Laura again. If everyone is thinking that this is a public speaker's worst nightmare, it actually wasn't. The nightmare is forgetting the lines in front of a foreign audience. Here, I had my parents in front of me, awkwardly holding the camera, my friends in the shepherd costumes in the front row, and Laura immediately to my right. It was so easy to stand up and speak in the church. I felt safe doing so. Now, my next story is from freshman year, and my mom ranks it in her top 10 most embarrassing moments, so I'm happy to let her relive this. It was the annual Maundy-Thursday dinner at our church that our church was holding. Like usual, getting ready to leave was a struggle. Jay was asleep, I was in the shower, and Dad wasn't home yet. With the chaos, we managed to leave when the Passover or when the Maundy-Thursday dinner started, making us around 5 minutes late. When we arrived at the dinner, we walked through the wrong door, which was blocked by a piano. The door hit the piano, and the bang broke the perfect silence inside, let everyone know that Joliet's were late. As we got into the dining area the right way, we saw the tables completely full and packed, with one extra chair to share with our family of five. Immediately, people began making space for our family. Within the minute, the church had found extra chairs and space, and everything went on like nothing happened. There were no looks or negativity. We were welcome to the tables without any judgment. Both the stories I chose represent the church perfectly to me. Mistakes here are forgiven and forgotten, and we move on without skipping a beat. With the struggles of youth, the church and these values have been grounding through all of that. Now, I make mistakes every day, and they come heavier and more often now that I'm 17. Oftentimes, they stick with me and pull me down. It's so powerful that the place I grew up, the church, has characteristics of forgiveness and love that I need, that kids need, and that everyone needs today. Jay's away at college, and I will be too soon. Living across the country feels safer when you're anchored to your home here. So, in short, take your kids to Sunday school.
Good morning. My name is Hannah Kleinbeck, and I'm one of the presidents of the high school youth group here at South Park Congregational Church. Unlike the other presidents and the majority of my other youth group peers, I have not grown up in this church. My grandparents, Ann and John Shaw, have been members for a number of years. However, it was not until my freshman year of high school that they introduced me to the community here at SCC. Unfortunately, that year was the same year that my grandfather passed away. I truly believe this church family was the last gift that he gave to me before his passing, and it was one of the best gifts I've ever received. I think of the timing and consider it a true blessing from God because Laura, Paul, and everyone else at SCC was able to lift me up and support me during the period of my life when I truly needed it most. Even though I had not grown up as an active member of any church, I was welcomed with open arms and immediately felt like a part of the most loving and supportive community I had ever been in. Before joining South Park Congregational Church, I had grown up with the same friends since kindergarten in the beach area of Fairfield in a relatively insular community. Until the age of 13, anything north of the Post Road in Fairfield was foreign territory to me. I was stuck in my little bubble. I was comfortable with the friends that I had and the experiences that I experienced thus far. However, comfort isn't necessarily a good thing, and I always felt like something was missing in my life. A community like the one here at church was just that. Seeking more religious understanding and new relationships, I started my freshman year by completing confirmation class, and every year after, I've been a member of the youth group. Once I stepped through the doors of this church my freshman year of high school, I've never wanted to leave. Even though I did not grow up going to church, I now look forward to Sunday morning services, and I eagerly anticipate the weekly Sunday night youth group meetings. The sense of community I felt from the beginning is enormous. The mission trip to Red Shirt Table and the other church service opportunities have been life-changing, and the personal connections I made at this church were instantaneous. It almost seems too good to be true, but joining this church allowed me to branch out in a way that I had never done before. I was given the opportunity to meet people who are not originally in my close circle, but who I now consider to be some of my best friends. This church is a place where I can be myself, accept everyone for who they are, and express myself without being afraid of anyone's judgment. I never knew I needed a church community until I joined one, and I now cannot imagine my life without this church and everything it has given me. I cannot believe I experienced my first 14 years of life without the love, support, and encouragement from each and every member and minister here at SCC. I'm grateful for my grandparents who introduced me to Southbrook Congregational Church. I'm grateful for everyone I've had the pleasure of getting to know, and I'm grateful that even though I was a little late, I was finally able to find my people and my happy place. Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Ava Pezzamenti, also one of the youth group presidents this year. On every one of the youth group's mission trips to Red Shirt Table on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, we visit the memorial site of the Battle of Wounded Knee. Except it wasn't a battle, it was a massacre. Every time we visit that cemetery, I get emotional. I don't know the Native Americans that died that day, but there's this energy there that's pulsing and living, and it's like you can feel the souls of the men, women, and children who died there embracing you. Even though God couldn't save their lives, God, with the Great Spirit, allowed their souls to continue to inspire others. That's why we volunteer to come to Red Shirt to run an educational summer camp every summer, not to save souls, but to inspire them. We don't come because we feel it's our duty, but because our hearts live there. History has judged Native Americans. Much of our society continues to believe the tribes belong only to the past, preserved in the voices of whitewashed textbooks. We come to Red Shirt because we want to remind the kids that we don't judge them. We love them, and we want them to succeed so much. Because it's hard to smile when life is tough, but somehow they do it, all while being crazy smart and creative and so deserving. And I think we remind them that they don't have to do it alone. Small experiences have left lasting effects on me and many of my fellow camp counselors. We remember the high fives after finally getting that frustratingly difficult multiplication problem. Or the sitting together during lunch, sometimes witnessing three campers share one banana. Or the smiles, the laughs, and the hugs, and the many, many shoulder rides. I'm pretty sure my trips to South Dakota are one of the only times when my iffy upper body strength is really pushed to reach new levels. Every night before I fall asleep, without fail, I think about the Lakota children at Red Shirt and their desire for love and acceptance. One night, my mind touches on memories from 2 years ago. A little Lakota girl and I walked together to summer camp, her impossible smile enduring the shattered glass and dejected houses, a place seeming void of love. I asked Tisha if she's ever danced with someone before. Upon her denial, I lock my fingers with hers, our duet complete with stumbling twirls and less than dainty steps, resulting in Tisha's goofy grin. In that moment, our laughter is enough. I promise myself to show Tisha that she is enough. While I cannot fathom what living in Tisha's community is like, I want to show her I'm here to offer support. I whisper that I love her, hugging tight. The previous winter, my best friend had pushed me away without explanation. I wondered if it was something about me. I couldn't comprehend why I wasn't enough for her, but I internalized her judgment. I felt alone, lost. Being a mentor at Red Shirt showed me that although our struggles appear different, humans are connected through our desire to be loved and understood. It's that connection that guides people through personal struggles. Tisha teaches me how to approach adversity with strength, as do all of the kids at Red Shirt. The youth group and I hope to show them that they aren't approaching adversity alone, because we are there to listen and to hug and maybe even relate, if only just partially, to their feelings. We have all experienced feeling as though we are the villains, victims, and heroes at some point in our own multifaceted lives. We are the villains. I pour myself into impressing someone I love, my friend, but losing myself in the process. Tisha flashes across my memory, as do the Lakota children's struggle to win words of confirmation. Be more perfect, we force upon ourselves with frozen thoughts. You aren't enough. We are the victims of our own villainy. Tisha and I ask why others won't love us as we are. Tisha to the modern society that still rejects her people, and I to my friend. We are the heroes of our own lives when we love ourselves. I recall Tisha's steadfast smile. We remind ourselves that we belong, that at the end of the day, we love each other. Our spirits smile. Despite living vastly different lives, I find inner strength through the examples of the kids on the reservation. The universality of the emotional places I've traveled shows me I'm not alone, and it drives me to show others the same. We shouldn't scrutinize our worth based on others' judgment, ever. So every night before I go to bed, when I recall my experiences at Red Shirt Table, I am reminded that we are enough because we are human.
Dear God, we come to you today knowing we live in a complex world. Our nation is divided. Our world is in distress in the midst of this pandemic. Chaos has a hold in many places. And nations are at war with their own people, causing starvation, hopelessness, and separation. Help us, God, to help our world to come together as your one creation. In our own country, the smallest things divide us. Instead of listening and respecting different opinions, we fight and argue and say hurtful things. This keeps us growing apart and prevents us from becoming a united nation. Help us to understand our own flaws and differences and overcome them in ourselves, so we can respect every other person as we should respect ourselves. In our town, we as youth and adults are still acutely aware of the economic pain families are feeling, of the damage done to our own town's fields and land through greed and corruption, and of the grieving of the 183 families who have had a loved one die from COVID-19. We ask you, God, to help them to feel our love and prayers so they can continue to heal and find comfort in their time together as a family. God, we are so thankful for this amazing church, which brings us together for a common purpose of worshiping you, supporting one another, and caring for your people. We thank you for the love, care, and generosity this congregation gives to our youth and children. And we offer special prayers today for the family of our friend Jake, for Mr. and Mrs. Panis and Liam. We miss Jake terribly, and our heart breaks for our loss, and then again for their loss. Be with them, God, and give them the strength to live with the light and love of Jake's enthusiasm for life, deep in their broken hearts. Continue to be with us as we work to right in our own way the centuries of injustices heaped upon our friends at the Red Shirt Table on the Pine Ridge Reservation. We give thanks for the generosity and support of this church and its wider family, who supports our mission and our love for these families. So on this Youth Sunday, God, we offer these prayers to you, and in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.